Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Tzadi Beis. We left off on Daf Tzadi Aleph and Beis, two lines from the end of the page at the Mishnah on Tzadi Aleph and Beis. Say Shira, sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, also anonymously for Shlema, for Daniel Yagain Ben Karen Eliza, also by Seymour Gertz, in memory of his mother, Margalit Bas Rav Shilam Alei Shalom, his yardside is Zayin Adar, also by David Friedman, Lila Nishmas, his mother, Deborah Greenfield Friedman, Devorah Bas Yoshua Heschel and Rachel Alei Shalom, his yardside was it yesterday? And also by the Pesachim boys, the Chavrusa of three Talmidim from BMT, who continue their decades-long quest to complete and conquer Maseches Pesachim, three-quarters of the way there. Also by the Turov family, Le'ilei Nishmas, Mitchell Turov, Moshe Ben Mordechai, whose yard site is today, Nisham Shav and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today is when we pick up with the Mishnah is going to discuss whether an Onain, or somebody who converted, who became a Ger on Erev Pesach, is allowed to eat the Korban Pesach on that very first night, or if there's something that prevents them from eating on that first night. Then the Gemara is going to list some cases where the Rabbanan waived the Din Rabbanan in favor of doing a big mitzvah, and other cases where the Rabbanan were so stark about their Dinim Rabbanan that even though it would prevent a big mitzvah, they still insisted that the Din Rabbanan be observed. So we're going to have three examples of each. That's going to bring us to the end of the parak, and then the Mishnah, Bezer Shem, at the beginning of the ninth parak, is going to discuss what kinds of situations would make a person eligible to bring a Pesach Sheni. And the Gemara is going to discuss whether somebody who is far away from Yerushalayim on Pesach Rishon, so he's unable to bring Korban Pesach and Pesach Rishon, but can he have somebody else bring it for him? Can he have someone else be Shochet V'Zorek on his behalf, and that way he'll be Yotzei with Pesach Rishon? Or do we say no? If he's Bederach Rechoka, then he can't be Yotzei. Meaning by definition, if you're eligible for Pesach Sheni, maybe that means you're not eligible for Pesach Rishon. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Sadi Alvan Beis at the bottom of the page. So we already started discussing yesterday the concept of an Onain. Again, the way we use that, as we mentioned yesterday, the way we use the term Onain is not really the way the Torah uses the term Onain. We talk about Onain as Misha Meso Muta Lefanav, what the Mishnayos refer to as Misha Meso Muta Lefanav. But Onain, from a Torah perspective, is not Kolzman that Meso Muta Lefanav. On a Daraisa level, a person is an Onain on the day that his relative dies, and only on Inus Yom, as we're about to see. For Laila, the following night, even if the person is not buried yet, he's no longer an Onain. And on a Daraisa level, all an Onain is not allowed to do is he's not allowed to eat Meiser, because the Pasuk says, Lo achalti ba'oni mimenu, one of the parts of the Vidui Meiser, where you discuss how you did everything right. So you say, Lo achalti ba'oni mimenu, I didn't eat the Meiser while I was in Aninus. And he's also not allowed to partake of Kadshim. That Aaron, after the Misa of Nadav and Avihu, Aaron HaKohen is says, V'achalti chatas hayom, hayitav b'nei Hashem. If I were to eat a chatas hayom, if I were to eat kachim now, would that be okay with the Ribbono Shel Olam? Meaning I'm not allowed to eat kachim because I'm an onein, Aaron HaKohen is saying. So that's the din of an onein min HaTorah. That min HaTorah, on the day that he loses his relative, he's not allowed to eat kachim and he's not allowed to eat meiser. So given the fact that he's not allowed to eat kachim on that day, what does that mean for him as far as Korban Pesach is concerned? So onein, tovel vochel es pischa le'erev. He can go to the mikveh and he can eat Korban Pesach that evening. And Rashi says, even before the burial, because midaraisa, aninus is only on the Yom HaMisa. It has nothing to do with burial. Misha meso mutal lefanav, being pater from mitzvos and brachos and things like that. All of that has to do with the burial. But being pater, being usher to eat meiser, being usher to eat kachim, that's only on that Yom, on the day of the Misa. So midaraisa, he's only going to be an onein that day, and by the night, he's already not an onein. He's only an onein midrabanan. So the Chachamim say we're willing to waive that din drabanan to enable him to eat their Korban Pesach avaloba kachim, but we're not going to allow him to eat other kachim. Meaning midrabanan aninus laila is a thing. Midrabanan, we're concerned that even at nighttime he has a status of an onein. So eating other kachim is not as important as eating Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is kares. Eating other kachim is a regular mitzvah. So we're not going to waive the din derabanan in the face of other kachim, but we will waive that din derabanan when it comes to Korban Pesach. As we said, Rashi said that this is talking about he could eat Korban Pesach that night, even if you haven't buried the dead. The Meiri, however, disagrees. He quotes a Yesh Omrim that if the relative is not yet buried, then even Belaila, the Aninus is Da'oraisa. Meaning the Meiri fuses these two concepts of Aninus and Misha Mesomut Mutal Lefanav, like we call in Shulchan Aruch Hilchas Aninus, and we call in the way we normally speak Hilchas Aninus, is Misha Mesa Mutal Lefanav. So Meiri says that if he's still Mesa Mutal Lefanav after day one, he still has Aninus Mida Oraisa. But that's not the Pashas. The Pashas is like Rashi, that it's only Aninus Yom, and then once the Laila comes, he's no longer considered to be an Onin. The Gemara in Meseches Zvachim and Daf Tzaditas Am Rebeis has a Machlokes Amoraim, what the Mishnah means over here. When the Mishnah says Avalov Bekachim, Rav Asi assumes that the Mishnah is to be understood Kipshuta, that even though on the Lel Pesach, even on the night of the Seder, he's only allowed to eat the Karban Pesach. We're still not going to allow him to eat other Kachim, meaning we made this exception to the Din Rabbanan for the sake of the Karban Pesach. We didn't make this exception for any other Kachim, even on the night of the Seder. So if he wants to partake of Karban Chagigas Yodalid on the night of the Seder, that's no good. Only for Karban Pesach he's allowed to participate. So that's the opinion of Rav Asi. However, Rav Yirmi Midifti says that no, once we allow him to eat the Karban Pesach on the Lela Seder, we allow him to eat other Kachim as well. When the Mishnah says Avalo B'Kachim, it means that normally when a person is in Aninus, we're not going to let him just go to the mikveh and eat Kachim that night. But for Pesach, we make an exception. And once we make an exception for the Karban Pesach, we make an exception for any other Kachim that he might want to eat that night. So now the Mishnah explains, someone who has a din of an onen on a drabanan level, Hashomea al Meso, someone finds out that a relative died, but it's not the day of the Misa. He finds out a week later, a few days later. So he's not an onen mida oraisa, or a malakidot samos. If someone had his relative's bones moved, if his mother or father, the Pashtos is, Rashi understands, based on the Gemara Moed Katan, that it's dafka, the mother and father, that has a din of likur atzamos, that you're misabel on the day of likur atzamos, that would not apply to shar krovim. However, the Ritva disagrees. The Ritva says that this avelus is, the Ritva agrees as well, and he says because it's a din in kibur ave'im. So that's why it only applies to ave'im, the din of likur atzamos, similar to avelus of yud beis chodesh. Avelus of yud beis chodesh is only a din in kibur ave'im. That's why by all other relatives, even a child, avelus is only shloshim. Right? That's the discussion that some of the contemporary achronim have. Why is it that a person observes avelus for 12 months for a parent? What's more distressing, losing a parent or losing a child? You would think, Rachman al son, someone loses a child, that's much worse. So they should observe avelus for way more, or for at least 12 months. But the halach is it's only shloshim yom. So the answer, I think in one of the books that was put out about Rav Soloveitchik, after Rav Soloveitchik passed away, someone wrote up about how, I think Rabbi Blau wrote up how when he went with Rav Soloveitchik to be Menachem Avel, I think when he went to be Menachem Avel, Rav Shner Kotler. So Rav Shner Kotler was there, I think Rabbi Teitz was there, and Rav Soloveitchik was there, and they each gave their own answer to that question. They were discussing that question, why it is that you're not misabel more than 30 days for losing a child, which is much more distressing than losing a parent. But the pashtus is because the din of Avel Tziud Beis Chodesh is the din in Kibbut Ave'im. It has nothing to do with how distressing it is. It's just based on the concept of Kibbut Ave'im. So that's why Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that if a woman is in Avelus of Yud Beis Chodesh, that and her husband's being honored at a dinner, that she can go to the dinner to honor her husband, even though it's in Yud Beis Chodesh for her parents, because a woman's covered baila supersedes the Kibbut Ave'im, as long as it's not within Shloshim. Shloshim is din Avelus. Yud Beis Chodesh is a din in Kibbut Ave'im. But anyway, so Likur Atzamos also says the Ritva is a din in Kibbut Ave'im. That's why it only applies to one's parents. However, the Rush in Moed Katan and the Tur in Yerdeas, and Tav Gimel writes that Likur Atzamos applies to Shar Krovim as well. That it's not a Din Kibbut Ave'im. It's not only about parents. It's about other relatives as well. But anyway, on the day that you were Melakei Atzamos, you're supposed to be Noeg Avelus that entire day. That's an Onein Midrabanan. He's not allowed to eat Kachim Midrabanan. So Tov Avleochel B'Kachim. So such a person is, since he's only an Onein on a Drabanan level anyway, even during the daytime, so the Rabbanan weren't Gozer Aninus Laila for someone who's even as Aninus Yom is only Drabanan. When it comes to a real Onein, someone who lost a relative that day, so is Aninus B'yom is Doraisa. So the Rabbanan goes there that there's Aninus at night. We're willing to waive that Gezerah in favor of Karban Pesach, but not in favor of other Kachim. When it comes to a Malakei Atzamos, or it comes to a person who has a Shmua about a Misa, where he's only an Onein Midrabanan that day, so the Rabbanan were not Gozer at all that there should be Aninus B'Laila. Gershin is Gayer Berav Pesach. If a person converts on Erev Pesach, he completes the conversion. conversion process on Erev Pesach. Beishami Yom Tovel Yochel is Pischal Erev. He goes to the mikvah and he can eat the Karban Pesach that evening. Beisil Omrim Haporish Mina Orla Kaporish Mina Kever. No, someone who is Megayer and is Porish Mina Orla, it's as if he has just left the Kever. It's as if he just became Tamei Meis. So he's going to need a 7-day Tara process with the Efer Parah Aduma, Hazah, Shlishi Yushvi. He cannot eat the Karban Pesach that evening. The Me'ibi writes, what's this Tevila that he does? He does it. He was already Megayer. Now Beishamai says he's Tovel and eats Karban Pesach that evening. Granted, Beisil doesn't allow this. Beisil says he has to go through the whole process. But what's the Tevila that Beishamai is talking about? So the Me'ibi writes that Tevila is not the Tevila that he's Tovel to be Megayer. The Geirus also involves a Tevila. It's a separate Tevila that the Chum required in order to be Matir Achilas Kadshim. Whereas the Tosas Yontif writes that the Tevila that we're talking about is the Tevila of a Ger, that he has to be Tovel in order to be Megayer. That Tevila itself, what is it? Beishamai is just an expression, Beishamai is saying, that Tovel, he finishes his Geirus, good, so let him eat Karban Pesach that evening. He doesn't have to do anything else aside from his Geirus. Whereas Beisil says, no, he's got to wait a whole week because it's as if he became Tamei Lemei. So says the Gemara, my Taima, what's the reason? What's the reason for what? So why, we're going back to the beginning, that an Onin is allowed to eat the Karban Pesach that evening, but he's not allowed to eat other Kachim that evening. A real Onin midaraisa bayom, so as far as the Aninus Laila, we allow him to eat Karban Pesach. We're going to ignore the Aninus Laila in favor of Karban Pesach, but not for other Kachim. So Kasavar, Aninus Laila, Drabanan, Gabi Pesach, Lo Amidu Devrayim, Bimakom Kares, Gabi Kachim, Hamidu Devrayim, Bimakom Asay, that since Aninus Laila is only Midrabanan, Pesach is a Chi of Kares, so the Rabbanan are not going to insist that we follow the Din Drabanan at the risk of missing out on that which is an Isser Kares. Whereas, when it comes to other Kachim, where it's only a Mitzvah Sasei of Achilas Shar Kachim, the Rabbanan will insist that we observe the Aninus Laila. Hashomei Almei. So then we said that if a person is only an Onen Midrabanan to begin with, he finds out about someone who died a few days ago, or they do a Likud Atzamos, so then he can eat Kachim that evening. Malakid Atzamos, Habay Azal Shlishi Shri. Wait a second, if he was Malakid Atzamos, that means he moved the grave. If he moved the grave, he must be Tamei on a Doraisa level. So what are you talking about? He's got to eat Hazal Shlishi Shri. He's Tamei Meis. So says Mara Ema, Sheliktu Lo Atzamos. Doesn't mean that he himself did the Likud Atzamos. No, he hired somebody to do the Likud Atzamos. So this is done every once in a while. Sometimes you have a person who's buried in the United States, for example, and they want to fly the body to Eretz Yisrael, they want to move the body to Eretz Yisrael, so that's a day of Likud Atzamos. So there are halachos involved in doing a Likud Atzamos. But very rarely does the relative himself go to the cemetery and involve himself in the Likud Atzamos. No, they hire cemetery workers in Chevra Kadisha or whatever that go and do the Likud Atzamos. It's not done by the person himself. Unfortunately, this is done a lot now because of Corona. A lot of times there were people who had burial plots in Eretz Yisrael and they couldn't get the body there. So they had to do a temporary kavura in Chutz La'aretz, and then they're going to move the bodies afterwards once they're able to. Anyway, Gershon is Geyer. So if a person converts on Erev Pesach, so Beishamai says he's Tovel and he eats that evening, and Beishil says, no, he's like Porish Min HaKever, he needs a 7-day Tara process. So I'm Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Machlokes, Ba'aril Nachri. This idea of Kala Porish Min HaOrla, Keporish Min HaMeis, that it's as if he became Tamei Meis, is only if he also went through a conversion process. He was a Nachri beforehand. Beishil Savri, Gezeira Shami Yitzmel Lashon Abav, Yomar, Ishtakeid, Milo Tavalti Vachalti, Akshavnami Etvol Ve'echol, V'lo Yada, Dishtaka Nachri Avav, V'lo Mekabel Tuma. What's going to happen, what Beisil's concern is, you're not really Tamei Meis when you convert, right? A person is not Tamei Meis when he converts. Adrabah, before he converted, he was a non-Jew, and non-Jew can't become Tamei Meis. So he's definitely not really Tamei Meis. But Beisil is concerned that he's going to remember that the day before his conversion, he went to the cemetery, he went to whatever, to Davin Makivri Avos, asked for forgiveness for becoming a Jew or whatever. So he went, the day before his conversion, he went to the cemetery, and now he's going to remember. And then I went to the mikvah, and I was able to eat Karban Pesach that night. So next year, he's going to say, oh, I went to the cemetery again on Erev Pesach. Well, Kivrei Avos, let's assume it was a Jew. He went to a Jewish cemetery. So he's going to, again, the next year, go to a Jewish cemetery the day before, and he's going to say, oh, okay, apparently I'm allowed to just go to the mikvah, because last year I went to the mikvah. He's not going to realize, it's because last year he wasn't really Tamei, because at the time that he contracted the Tumah, he was a non-Jew, and a non-Jew does not become Tamei. The Gemara Darshan's in Maseches Nazir. Pasuk says, V'isha sher yitma v'lo yizchata, that a person becomes Tamei and does not become Tahar. tar. So we link tuma and tara is a hekesh in the pasuk. V'lo yischata, yischata means tara, that there's a link between the tuma and tara. To tell me only someone who has tahara can become tame. Nachri has no tara. The tara's paraduma is only for the Jewish people. The pasuk says v'hayisala adas b'nei Yisrael mishmeres. The tara of the paraduma is only for Klal Yisrael. So since the tahara is only for Klal Yisrael, the tuma is only for Klal Yisrael. And nachri cannot become tame. So achshav Yisrael mekabel tuma. He's not going to realize right now that following year he's already a Jew and he's mekabel tuma, so he's not going to be able to eat kodshim until he goes through the full tahara process. So it's all a gezera that Beis Hillel makes, that whenever he's parish min ha'arla, from being a nachri, it's kaparish min ha'kever. Beis Shammai savor lo gezerin. Beis Shammai doesn't make such a gezera. He says the guy converted, let him go to the mikvah and eat the carbon pesach right away. Aval Aral Yisrael, but if you have a person who is an Aral Yisrael, he was a Jew, he just never had a bris mila before, and then he gets a mila on Erev Pesach, then divrei hakol tovel v'yochel es piskol Erev. Then everyone would say he can just go to the mikvah and eat the carbon pesach that evening, right? Because there's nothing to make a gzera about. Because if he had become tameh before, then he would require tumas shiva, he would require the 7-day process. But lo gazrin and Aral Yisrael mishum Aral Nachri. We don't make any special gzera that we're not going to allow an Aral Yisrael to eat carbon pesach that night because an Aral Nachri wouldn't be allowed. Aral Nachri itself is only a gzera because next year he'll get confused. So we're not going to make a gzera on Aral Yisrael as well. So even Beis Hillel will be moda that if a person was a Jew who was an Aral and then got his mila on Erev Pesach, so tovel and ochel carbon pesach that evening. Question Tosfos raises is tovel? Why does he have to be tovel? He's a Jew. Tevila, I understand, for someone who's converting, because that's part of the conversion process. But a Jew has to be tovel? What is this tevila? We never find that Yisrael who goes through a bris mila has to do a tevila when all those Russian Jews were able to finally come to Eretz Yisrael and they had all these adults coming and getting a bris mila. They had to go to the mikvah also. There's a mikvah, there's a tevila that it's involved with getting a mila. So Tazyantif writes that the tevila is the tovel, is the tevila that he does for Taras HaRegel. The Gemara says that a person has to be mitar himself biregel. Biregel means in advance of the regel. It's too late if he waits for the regel. So in advance of the regalim, person has to be mitar himself. So that's one of the answers, by the way, to the question, the stira that everyone asks. The Gemara at the very end of Megillah, to the Gemara at the beginning of Pesachim. Gemara at the beginning of Pesachim says that a person has to be shol in v'darshin b'ilchos achag shloshim yom kodem achag. At the end of the Megillah, at the end of the Gemara Megillah, it says that you're doresh hilchos achag b'chag. So which is it? Is it shloshim yom kodem or is it b'chag? So one of the answers that the Rishonim give is the word bi means in advance of, just like chayav adam l'tar atzmo b'regel. If I'm not mistaken, the Chok Yaakov in Hilchos Pesach says like that. The bi very often means before. So Chayav Adam L'Tahara Atzmo B'Regel. So Tosfos Yontif says that's the tevila that we're talking about. It's nothing to do really with the circumcision. It's nothing to do with the mila that he went through. It has to do with the fact that every Jew has to go to the mikvah in advance of Yom Tov. But anyway, that's the Gemara statement that the whole machlokes b'sham b'silol, whether he has tumas shiva is only if he was a nachri who went through a mila. But if a Jew went through a mila, then for sure he doesn't have to wait 7 days. Tanya Nami Achin, we have a brisa that says just like that. Amar Reb Shimon Elazar, that there's no doubt that an Aral Yisrael can go to the mikveh and eat the Karban Pesach that evening. The whole machlokas is about an Aral Nachri. That Beishame says that he could, even an Aral Nachri can just go to the mikveh and eat Karban Pesach that evening. And Beis Hillel says, no, if he was Parish Min Arla, it's like being Parish Min Kever. He needs the 7-day Tara process, just like a Tameh Meis would require such a Tara process. Okay, so now the Gemara brings that there are certain Yisurim Drabanan that the Chacham were so strong about their Yisurim Drabanan that they're going to tell you that you have to observe that in Drabanan even at the risk of violating a much greater Yisur Midar Raisa. And there are other Yisurim Drabanan where the Chacham are going to say, you know what, if you have a Din Dar Raisa that's standing in the way of this or this Yisur Drabanan standing in the way of a Din Dar Raisa, so forget the Din Drabanan and fulfill this great Din Dar Raisa. So the Gemara is going to have three examples of each. Amar Rava. Arel, Hazaa, V'Izmal, Hemidu Devrayim B'Makom Kares. In the case, three cases of Arel, Hazaa, and Izmal, the Chacham were so serious about their Din D'Rabbanan, so strict about their Din D'Rabbanan, that even B'Makom and Onesh Kares, the Rabbanan insisted you have to fulfill their Din D'Rabbanan and risk the Yisr Kares. Onenu Mitzoru Beis HaPras Lo Amidin Devrayim B'Makom Kares. Three other cases of Onen, Mitzora, and Beis HaPras, the Chacham were not so strict about their Din D'Rabbanan and said we'd rather you not violate an Yisr Kares and violate the Din D'Rabbanan. So what are these cases, the three? So we go through in detail. Arel Hadamarin, the case of Arel that we said that's in the first category where the Chacham are so serious about it, that's the case in our Mishnah, that a person is Megayer on Erev Pesach, even though Midol Raisa, he's 100% a Jew and he has to do Karban Pesach. Beis Hillel says we make Gzeri Midrabbanan that he doesn't bring Karban Pesach because he has to go through this Tara process. But that's only Din Drabbanan that he's got to go through this Tara process. Karban Pesach is Chiv Kares. Yeah, Drabbanan took this so seriously that even B'Makom Kares. Second example in this category where Drabbanan were very strong about their Din, Hazaa. Dabramar Hazaa Shvos Ve'Nedach Hasa Shabbos. We learned back earlier in the Masechta that a person needs Hazaa Shlishi Yushvi in order to be Matar himself. So really on a Daraisa level, you're allowed to do Hazaa on Shabbos also. It's a Gzeira Midrabbanan that you're not allowed to do Hazaa on Shabbos. So it's a Shvus Midrabbanan. And nevertheless, even though if the seventh day of his Tara process is Shabbos, and it's Erev Pesach Shechal B'Shabbos, like it will be this year, you're not allowed to do the Hazaa of the Efer Paraduma, even though that's going to cost him the opportunity of a Karban Pesach. For what? For the Yisr D'Rabbanan of Hazaa and Shabbos. Yeah, the Chum were so strict about the Yisr D'Rabbanan of Hazaa and Shabbos. And the third example is Izmel. D'Tanya, the Brisa tells us in Perek Rav Elazar de Mila in Masechta Shabbos that the knife that they used to do the Mila on the baby, and they want to bring it from wherever it is right now to the place where the baby is, Kishem Shem Navino Sederach Rosh Hashanah, just like you're not allowed to carry the knife Midar Raisa from through Rosh Hashanah Dar Raisa. So Kachin Navino Sederach Gagos Derech Chateros Derech Karpefos. Even if if you have Rishuyos that on a Dar Raisa level are Rishus Hayachid, but since they are separate Rishuyos Hayachid, the Rabban where goes there, you're not allowed to bring from this type of Rishus Hayachid to that type of Rishus Hayachid. If Erev Pesach falls on in Shabbos and the person has to give his child the Bris Mila, if he doesn't give his child the Bris Mila, a father's failure to give his child the Bris Mila costs the father the opportunity to eat Karban Pesach because it's his mitzvah of Mila. So even though he's not an Arel, it costs him the opportunity to eat Karban Pesach. The Chum say, sorry, you don't have the Mila knife here. You're not allowed to violate the Yisud Rabbanan of carrying the knife through Rishuyos to Rabbanan in order to give the baby a Mila, even at the expense of your own Karban Pesach, at the expense of an Yisr Kares. So that is category one, where the Rabbanan were very, very strict about their dinin. Now the Gemara says, okay, and what's category two? What are the three examples in the second category where the Rabbanan were willing to relax their dinim in favor of the Yisr Kares? So number one, Onein Hadamaran. The case of Onein, we already said in the Mishnah, that an Onein is not allowed to eat Kachem at night even after the Yom HaMisa, but the Chum allow him to eat Pesach because Pesach is an Yisr Kares. So even though we're going to be strict and not allow him to eat other Kachem that night because of Aninus Laila Drabanan, the din of Aninus Laila Drabanan is not strong enough to stand in the way of a Karban Pesach. Mitzora Maihi, what's the story about a Mitzora? Where do we say that we're willing to bend on a Din Drabanan in order to allow a Mitzora to avoid an Isser Kares? So Titania, the Brisa tells us, Mitzora Shechal Shmini Shalom Be'erev HaPesach. If the eighth day of his Mitzora process falls out at Erev Pesach. Well, what's the Mitzora process? So a little bit of background. A Mitzora is Tameh for 7 days, and then on the seventh day he goes to the Mikvah. On the eighth day he brings three Karbanos. He brings an Ola, a Chatas, and an Asham. And there's also a Lug Shemen that has to be brought. And what they do is they take from the Dam of the Asham and from the Shemen and they put it Al Tnuch Ozno, Al Bo and Yado, Bo and Raglo. On his ear, on his thumb, and on his big toe. On his right thumb, right big toe. But the Mitzora had a problem, meaning there's a problem with this process because the Mitzora is not allowed to go into the Azara because until he brings his Karbanos, he's a Mechusar Kippurim. Mechusar Kippurim is not allowed to enter the Azara. They couldn't bring the Dam and the Shemen outside of the Azara because they would become Pasul B'Yotzei. They're not allowed to leave the Azara. So the Mitzora needs to have this stuff put on his ear, on his thumb, and on his big toe. But he's not allowed into the Azara. But the stuff that has to go on, and the oil and the blood, is not allowed out of the Azara. So what did they do? So they would stand the Mitzorah by Sharni Kanar, where the entranceway doesn't have the Kedushas Azara, and he would just stick his those parts of his body into the Azara, Bia B'Mitzas, and they would put the oil and the blood in those parts of his body. So now, what's the case of Mitzorah where we're going to say we're going to ignore the Issa D'Rabbanan in favor of so that he doesn't violate a kares? Titania, Mitzorah Shechal Shmini Shlo B'Erev HaPesach. Where the eighth day of this process, when he's supposed to be doing all of this, is on Erev Pesach, V'ra'a Keri B'Bayom. And just his luck, he became a Balkari that day. And a Balkari, the halacha is not allowed to go into Har HaBayis. He's limited from going to Har HaBayis. Har HaBayis has the status of Machna Leviyah. A Balkari is not allowed to go into Machna Leviyah because the Pasuk says V'kol Zav, and Balkari is an offshoot of Tumaziva. So V'kol Zav is L'Rabos Balkari, that he has to be sent outside of Machna Leviyah. Tamei Meis is allowed on Har HaBayis, but that's why nowadays if those who go on Har HaBayis try to take care of their Tumaziva, whether they're successful or not is debatable, but they try to take care of the Tumaziva, but Tumas Meis is no taking care of, but they're still allowed in Har HaBayis with Tumas Meis. The Tamei Meis is allowed in Har HaBayis, but a Tamei Balkeri or Tamei Zav is not allowed in Har HaBayis. So he sees Keri Bo Bayom, so he can't even go in Har HaBayis. How's he going to get to the Pesach HaZara if he can't even go in the Har HaBayis? So Tovel, he can go to the mikveh in order to become tar from being a Balkeri. Then he goes into the Har HaBayis and he brings his karbonos va'ochel, and that evening he can eat Karban Pesach. Amru Chacham, afal pi shetvul yom eino nichnas, even though the din is that a tvul yom should not be going into a Har HaBayis, he should wait till he has Har of Shemesh on the night following his tevila, zenich. This guy who was a Mitzorah on the eighth day, who became a Balkari, we're going to allow him, even though he's a Tevil Yom, because he just went to the mikvah for being a Balkari, we're going to allow him to go into the Har HaBayis in order to have the Mitzorah process, the Tara process of Mitzorah, finished so that he'll be able to bring the Karban Pesach. Because Mutav Yavo Aseh Sheyesh Bo Kares, V'yidcha Aseh She'en Bo Kares. We'd much rather have the Aseh that has a Kares involved, namely Karban Pesach, beat out the consideration of the assay that doesn't have karis involved, namely the isser of a tevul yom entering Har HaBayis. Now the Gemara is assuming right now that a tevul yom entering Har HaBayis is a real assay midoraisa. It's an isser assay midoraisa. So this isn't even an example at this point of the Rabbanan being mekil. This is a doraisa being pushed away in favor of a stricter doraisa. Why would it be doraisa? Because the pasuk says uvavo Hashemesh yavo el toch hamachne. So it sounds like before bo Hashemesh he's not allowed into the machne. So that's what we call an Isra Asay. So an Isra Asay has the status of an Asay. So Va'am Rabbi Yochanan, and on that Rabbi Yochanan commented that the Isra of a Tevul Yom going to Har HaBayis is not really an Isra Asay. That Dvar Torah Afilu Asay Einbo. It's not really an Isra Asay Midaraisa. Shneimar, because the Pasuk says in Divrei Yamim, Vayamud Yehoshafat Bekal Yudav Yerushalayim Beveis Hashem Lefnei HaChatzar HaChadosha. That Yehoshafat stood in front of the Har HaBayis. My Chatzar HaChadosha. Why is the Har HaBayis called the Chatzar HaChadosha? Yehoshaphat was after the Beis HaMikdash was around for a long, long time already. There was nothing new about the Har HaBayis at that time, or the Kedusha of the Har HaBayis. No, Shechitshu Bo Davar. No, on that day, they were Mechadesh HaLacha about Har HaBayis, that Rabbi Yochanan was Mekabel from his Rebbe, that the Chiddush was that V'amru Tevul Yom Lo Yikanes B'machna Leviya. That day, they came up with this new din that a Tevul Yom is not allowed into Har HaBayis. But you see that it's only a din midrabanan. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been Mechadesh on that day, in the days of Yehoshaphat. So Tevul Yom going to Har HaBayis is only a Din D'Rabbanan. Erev Pesach, we allow him to violate that Din D'Rabbanan so that he can finish his Torah process, so that he'll be able to partake of Karban Pesach that evening, because Karban Pesach is an Isser Kares. So that's the second example where the Rabbanan were lenient on a Din D'Rabbanan in favor of an Isser Kares. And Beis HaPras, a third example, is the Beis HaPras. The Mishnah says in Maseches HaAlos, V'shavim Beisham V'Beisilah, that even though Beisham V'Beisilah disagree about something related to a Beis HaPras, they agree in the following two cases. Now, what's the case that they disagree? So the Gemara doesn't tell us over here, but the Rishonim fill in that if you look it up, the case that they disagree is that a Nazir who goes through a Beis HaPras, can he check afterwards to see if there were bones in that Beis HaPras? That Beis Shammai says, check and see if he became Tamei. And if you don't find any bones, then he doesn't have to bring the Karbanos of a Nazir who had become Tamei, because he didn't become Tamei. Whereas Beis Hillel says, no, but Dika is not going to help for a Nazir. And he's going to have to bring Karbanos as if he had become Tameh when he went through Beis HaPras. There are two definitions of Beis HaPras. Beis HaPras is sometimes the Sada Sha'avad Bo Kever is described as a Beis HaPras. You know that there was a Kever there, you just don't know where in this field is a Kever. And a Sada Sha'nechrash Bo Kever, a field where there was a Kever that was a very shallow grave, and then they plowed the field, so you assume that parts of the body, there are bone fragments all over the field. So the sugya, the Beis HaPras we're talking about over here is the Sada Sha'nechrash Bo Kever, where it was plowed up. So the Rabbanan where goes there, that the whole 100 amos around it is as a din of Tumah midrabbanan. So now, Beis HaPras, what's the example of Beis HaPras where we're going to waive the din drabbanan in favor of the kares, the Tanan, Visham, Visham, Vesil, Visham, Vesil, both agree. Shebotkin lo osei Pesach, that a person who has to bring Karban Pesach, and he has to go through a Beis HaPras, if he has no other path to get through to bring his Karban Pesach other than going through a Beis HaPras, you can go through that field by checking first for bones. But ve'ein bokin lo chle truma. We don't rely on a bedika when it comes to someone who wants to eat truma. He cannot rely on such a bedika. He has to wait, and he'll have to eat truma at some later time. Why is it that we rely on the bedika for Karban Pesach? Because for Karban Pesach, we're willing to sacrifice that insistence, midrabanan, that you not rely on bedika for the sake of Karban Pesach, because Karban Pesach is kares. But for achilas truma, we're not willing to relax that insistence, midrabanan, that we not rely on the bedika. What is this bedika? My botkin. How do you do such a bedika of a field? Sam Ravi Domer Shmuel menafeach beis hapras vaholich. You blow the surface of the field, and then you go and you see if there are any bones. You blow off the top surface of dirt, and you see if there are any bones. And if there aren't, then you walk in that area. Rabbi Yehuda bar Abayi mishmed Rabbi Yehuda amar beis hapras shenidash tohar. No, the bedika is to see if it was properly trampled on. Once it's trampled enough, then you assume that through the all the bones have already been removed from that Beis HaPras. That's the question. So we say that you're allowed to blow through the field, and by blowing through the field, that's good enough. There's a Tshuva Sefer, the Tshuva Evan Yikara, where he discusses, there's another halach about blowing. When you blow in the lungs of an animal to see if there are any holes in the lungs, to see, check for trefus. So he discusses whether whenever there's a din of blowing, does it have to be done by a person actually blowing, or can you take like some sort of fan or some sort of kli, you know, that you plug in and let it blow up the thing. So the poskim point out that so some of the achrams say you got to blow. I don't know what these kalim, if they're capable of blowing as much. Whereas most of the achrams say no. If you have the ability to create a force of wind that's stronger, a lot of times the people who know how to do these things are older people, and they couldn't blow out their birthday candles, let alone how they're going to blow into the lung and really do it. So much better to use some sort of kli, as long as it's strong, it's able to blow strong enough. Okay, I remember in camp as a child, someone did a demonstration with a lung and started blowing with his mouth into there, and it took a lot of koach. But you know, better to probably to have something that could really blow it up quickly. Anyway, so new parak hadron lachaisha. Now we begin by the ninth parak of Maseches Pesachim. So the Torah tells us that a person who's tamei or bederach rechoka brings Pesach Sheni, right? He's unable to bring Pesach Rishon, so he brings Pesach Sheni. So says the Mishnah, Misha Yatamei B'Derech Rechoka V'Lo Ases HaRishon Yases HaSheni, says the Halacha, that it says in the Torah that if a person is Tamei or B'Derech Rechoka, he's unable to do Pesach Rishon, so good, let him do Pesach Sheni. Shogeg Onenas, but if he was Shogeg, he didn't know that it was Pesach, so he missed out on Pesach Rishon, he just didn't know. Or it was an Ones at the time of the bringing of the Karban Pesach, V'Lo Ases HaRishon, for those reasons he didn't bring Pesach Rishon, Yases HaSheni. Then he could do Pesach Sheni. The Or Chadash asks, why do we split this into two statements? Just say someone who's Tamei B'Derech Rechoka, Shogeg Onenas, right? All of them are all examples where he didn't do Pesach Rishon, he's going to do Pesach Sheni. So he says that clearly the Mishnah is splitting up that which it says in the Torah and that which it doesn't say in the Torah, to tell me a lozu avzu, that not only a tamei b'derech rechoka, which is explicit in the Torah, do you have the opportunity to do Pesach Sheni. Even those cases where you didn't do Pesach Rishon that are not explicit in the Torah, you also have the opportunity to do Pesach Sheni. Im kein lama nemar tamei asher b'derech rechoka. So why does the Torah only give those two examples if it's really a more expansive list of people who are eligible for Pesach Sheni? She'elu p'turim meikaris, because the tamei b'derech rechoka and the someone who's tamei derech choka, I'm sorry, what was the Gemara saying? Imkein lamen emar tamei asher b'derech choka, that they're nidcha to Pesach Sheni. If every anus is nidcha to Pesach Sheni, so the Gemara says she'elu the tamei derech choka, the shogeg and the onus, when they don't bring Pesach, they're p'tur mei karis, they're put from karis. So that's why the Torah says derech choka. Tell me that even if someone is far away, he's put from karis, even though l'chori he could have come closer, he could have arranged that he wouldn't be b'derech choka. Ve'elu chayavim b'karis, but people who are not shogeg or onus are going to be chayav karis. So itmar says the Gemara, hayav b'derech choka. If a person was far away at the time of the shchitas haPesach, after chatzos hayom on erev Pesach, v'shachtu v'zorku alav, but he had a good friend that was in Yerushalayim, said, you know what? I'm going to include him on my Pesach. I'm going to shecht for him, and I'm going to be zorik the dam for him. So does it work? We know that he's patur and he could do Pesach Sheni, but does it work if someone did Pesach Rishon on his behalf? So says the Gemara, Rav Nachman Amar Hurtza, Rav Sheish Amar Lo Hurtza. Rav Nachman says it's good enough, it does work, he's Yotzei. Rav Sheish says he's not Yotzei. So the Rashi points out that the situation that we're talking about is Dafka, if he was B'derech Rechoka at the Shas Shechita, but he could still make it by nighttime to eat the Korban Pesach. That's where you have such a machlokas. But if he was so far away that he had no chance of making it back by nighttime to eat the Korban Pesach, then there's no doubt that he would not be able to participate, he would not be Yotzei with the Pesach Rishon. So Rashi is assuming one tzad in a machlokas we're going to have in tomorrow's daf. In tomorrow's daf, we're going to have a machlokas. How far do you have to be in order to have that p'tur of Derech Rechoka? There is one day in the Gemara that even if you can make it back by nighttime, you might still be far enough away to have the p'tur of being B'derech Rechoka. That's what Rashi's assuming, right? There's another day that, no, if you can make it back by that night, then you're not p'tur from Pesach Rishon. That's not called Derech Rechoka. Rashi's clearly not assuming like that side. He assumes that this whole machlokas over here is only within the tzad that the p'tur of Derech Rechoka applies, even if you can make it back. So the question is, okay, you can make it back. If someone shechts for you, can you be Yotzei Pesach Rishon? So Rav Nachman says yes, Rav Sheisha says no. Rav Nachman says you could be Yotzei Mechas Uduchas Rachman Alav. When the Torah says you could bring Pesach Sheni, the Torah is having Rachmanus on him. Yeah, you don't have to do Pesach Rishon. You can do Pesach Sheni. But V'yavid, you want to do Pesach Rishon, Tov Alav Bracha, Gesuntei, that's wonderful. Rav Sheisha says, Amar Lohur, it's a Mitchadachi Rachman Ketame. And Rav Sheisha says, no, Tamei and Derech Rechoka are the same category. Just like a Tamei person doesn't have the option of doing Pesach Rishon, a Derech Rechoka also does not have the option of doing Pesach Rishon. Amar Rav Nachman Minah, Minah, Rav Nachman says, where do I get my idea that if they shecht for someone who's B'derech Rechoka, that he's Yotzei is Chiyuv? It's not, because our Mishnah says, Mishnah Tamei O B'derech Rechoka V'lo Asa Es HaRishon Yasa Es HaSheni Mechlal Di Bayavid. What do you mean? He's Tamei B'derech Rechoka V'lo Asa Es HaRishon, and he happened to have not done Pesach Rishon. What do you mean he happened to have not done Pesach Rishon? He couldn't do Pesach Rishon. So it must be that he could have, and yet nevertheless he's still eligible for Pesach Sheni. Rav Sheshes Amalach, Rav Sheshes would respond to that, Ihachi, if the Lashon of V'lo Asa is what you're being medayik in, that because it says V'lo Asa, that's telling you that he had the ability to do Pesach Rishon, how do you read the Seifa? Seifa Dekatani, Shagag O'ne'enas, V'lo Asa Es HaRishon, Yasa Es HaSheni. He didn't know it was Pesach, or he had some sort of onus where he couldn't do it, and then he chose not to? V'lo Asa means he chose not to? Midekatani, V'lo Asa, Mechal Dibayavid. If the way you're reading V'lo Asa, that implies that if he wanted, he could have done it. But what do you mean? Hare Shagag. He didn't know it was Pesach, so how could he possibly have done it? Vare Nenas. He had an Ones. How could he possibly have done it? So Ella Mezid Katani Badayu. It must be that there's another category missing from the Seifa, that it didn't just mean Shagag O Nenas, but it was Shagag Nenas O Mezid. That even if he was Mezid, together with Shagag O Nenas, and about the Mezid we say, V'lo Asa. He was Mezid and he chose not to do it, because in that case he certainly could have. Sachanami, so in the Reisha also, when we talk about a Tame Bedera and a Derech Rechoka, there's a third item that's missing from the Mishnah. Onein Katani Badayu. It's Tame, Derech Rechoka, and Onein that all belong on the list. And about the Onein we say, V'lo Asa. Because an Onein is able to do Pesach Rishon by simply having someone else shecht for him. But someone who's Bederech Rechoka maybe cannot have someone else shecht for him. He says, from our Mishnah, it's Muchach, that you have to say Mezid in the Sefer and Onain in the Resha of the Mishnah. How do I know that? To Katani, because the Mishnah says, Elu Peturim Be'ikareis, Ve'elu Chayavim Be'ikareis. Aheya, who's the Mishnah talking about that? If they don't do the Pesach Rishon, they're Chayav Kareis. Ilei Ma Shogeg V'nenas. So if you're talking about someone who's a Shogeg or Nenas, Shogeg V'nenas B'nei Kareis Nenu. Someone who's shogeg or nenas is going to be chayiv kares, ella amazed by onain. It must be talking about someone who's amazed or is an onain, who's chayiv kares for not bringing Pesach Rishon. So clearly, Mezid and Onain belong in the Mishnah, and therefore Rav Nachman has no raya from our Mishnah, since the Mishnah, when it says Velo Asa, in the Reisha is talking about an Onain, and in the Sefer is talking about a Mezid. So you can't talk, it's not talking about a Derech Chokeh. In Achinami, a Derech Chokeh doesn't even have that option to begin with. Rav Nachman, who says that you do not add in the word Onain in the Reisha, Amalach, he'll simply respond to you, Liolama Mezid Luchudei. He'll say, I agree. You have to add Mezid into the Sefer. That when it talks about someone who's Shogeg or Nanas, Velo Asa, it doesn't make any sense. Velo Asa on Shogeg or Nanas. It has to be Shogeg Nanas or Mezid Velo Asa, that the Mezid chose not to do it. But that doesn't necessarily mean in the Reisha, when we spoke about a Tameh and a Derech Rechoka, that you have to add Onin to the list. With Tameh and Derech Rechoka alone, Velo Asa makes sense. Because a Derech Rechoka had the option, he had the opportunity to do it. Why then does it say chayiv b'lashon yachid? Why then does it not say chayiv b'lashon yachid? Meaning, if it's only talking about this one case, so why does it say chayavin? The fact that it says chayavin b'lashon rabim is aydi d'tana reisha. Since the reisha says peturin in lashon rabim, so tana seifa chayavin. The seifa says chayavin in lashon rabim. So therefore, there's a riot. Rav Nachman, that Onain is not mentioned in the Reisha, and clearly Velo Asa has to be going on the case of Derech Rechoka. So you see from there that a Derech Rechoka has the ability to bring Pesach Rishon al Yedei, his friends. He can have other people do the Shechita and the Zrika on his behalf, and hopefully he'll get there by that evening and he'll be able to partake of the Karban Pesach. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rav Sheshes, Mina Amina, two lines from the bottom of the page.